This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith.
Oh, yeah. And this is the podcast where comedians drink beer and talk about crazy conspiracies. And this week, we are talking about a recent government disclosure regarding encounters with UFOs. Pretty crazy.
And more revelations.
Yeah, we're excited. If you're not already a patron... If you are a patron, you're listening, great.
Thank you.
If you're not, I would really suggest the patron episodes.
Yeah,
four, been on fire lately.
Four extra episodes a month.
They've been so good.
$5 a month. We're just giving it away. And it's the best thing about it is we do double episodes with guests. So you get, say, the guest we had on last week. He's got a Patreon episode and a regular episode. Yeah, so get more of those people if you
like them. Definitely worth it.
Yeah.
Okay. Like we have a couple of, I've told you, we have some young fans, Will and Jesse.
Oh, yeah.
Big fans.
Yeah, they're three.
They're not old enough to drink beer.
Oh, okay.
I gave them beer koozies, and
my
wife was like, that's not a good gift for someone who can't drink.
Yeah. Then the mom's trying to put them on her breast for the kid. You're like, doesn't work that way.
Boob koozies.
Yeah. Do they have those?
I would know. I don't think so.
Boobsies. Is it like balls that has to stay a certain temperature?
Testicles are temperature sensitive.
Yeah. Are boobs?
You
know we're the wrong guys to ask.
Yeah, this is what we said we wouldn't do.
Yeah.
We're canceling ours.
Oh, right.
Well, on that note, we are very excited to have our guest this week. She is an old friend from Raleigh Comedy, but has since moved on to New York City, where she is crushing it. Please welcome to the pod, Maddie Wiener.
Hello. Resident boob expert, not temperature sensitive.
And of course, I didn't want to say to you, we should ask our guest because that just felt sexist.
Speaking of
boobs, guys.
Well,
And I'll cut all this out.
As my brief introduction said, you left Raleigh pre-pandemic for a stint in Chicago where you wrapped up college.
Yeah.
And then from there, leapt deep into the New York comedy scene.
Yeah, I kind of went to New York like right after I graduated.
Yeah,
been weird. It was like right as I don't want to say the pandemic was ending, but right as like lockdown was being lifted and stuff was
smart,
kind of normal, which is kind of weird too because I was like I hadn't really done stand up for like 2 years,
right.
And I was like now is the most high pressure. Like I want to do well in front of everybody.
Did you find you did better though? Like I find when I take a long break, I come back and I'm like, I'm at least baseline of what I was before. I'm not any worse.
It's almost like I think doing it every night, it got a little crusty almost. And then being just a person for a while and coming back to it, I was like, I'm more, I don't know, more interesting, or I'm more like, you're more kind of like on your toes because you're like, have just lived life for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the root of comedy. And sometimes when you're just a comic, I find I'm like, why haven't I written anything? It's like, because all you do is tell the same jokes.
That's why improv, at least for humor and improv for me, is always surface level. All I can do is quip because I really have no understanding beyond the depth of my own skin and personal body. Like, I don't know people. So I'm like, I can make a funny joke at your expense. That's what I'm good at. And then I found like my improv scenes would just be me making a joke, which is not what it is, what it should be, is because I just didn't have the depth of life to pull from. Then you live a little bit and you're like, I'm actually better at improv when I took 4 years off.
Probably a better anything when you don't do it all the time.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
comedy is a bad influence on personhood in general.
Generally speaking.
Exactly.
We are really excited to have you here because we get to talk today. I mean, I don't know how much of this stuff, because for us, sometimes I think it's just second nature that we know more than we realize. I don't know how much you know about the recent disclosures by the government regarding what are now called unidentified phenomena, UAPs.
Was this like a couple months ago? Well, or is there a more recent one? Because I remember there was something where they released a report that was like, there's like shit in the sky. And who knows?
Yeah. So that disclosure came, bits and pieces of that had been leaked, and then finally there was like a full airing of the house, right? Mm-hmm. And then since then, there have been a number of newer disclosures as people submit Freedom of Information Acts. And there was one last week that was really crazy because it involves contact with these ships and the effects of it, which to me is fascinating because there are so many stories of people in documentaries and movies about people who've had interactions with UFOs or the inhabitants or the occupants of those UFOs.
Yeah, sometimes they wave, sometimes they poke you.
Yeah, the alien encounters. You can just get on whatever streaming service you're on, and you'll find some 60-minute program where the guy has that deep, and then John went outside and saw that whole, that's everywhere. And I was like, that's crazy because that stuff's been seen in the light of like, you're a lunatic or like that didn't really happen, you know? But now as we see that like, well, the government, there were UFOs. Well, now we have to go back and look at those stories and say, well, which of these stories now sound like they're credible? Mm-hmm. And so I was digging into this and I went all the way back to 1639. And what some people argue is the first written UFO encounter.
All right.
It was 1639, and the guy that wrote it was the governor of the Massachusetts colony, John Winthrop.
Okay.
Remember, I don't know if that name rings a bell.
No, was he a Salem guy?
Probably so.
A witch burner?
Probably so. Mm. I think that he was a pretty devout, you know.
Probably not a great guy.
Probably not by today's standards.
Right.
At all. He's yeah, he's not a good dude, probably. Yeah. He's a Puritan.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Never.
Like a militant Puritan.
Yeah.
Right. So he's the governor. He's writing in his journal. And he tells this story that what he described as a sober and discreet gentleman, which I love that description.
Yeah. That's on my business card.
Yeah. That's right. Because you see what he's trying to do? He's trying to say this was a sober guy.
Right. Yeah.
Because like if I wander in and I saw lights in the village, you guys would be like, well, that's Justin. Yeah. Not sober and he's not discreet. Like the discreet part is also fun.
Yeah.
Right? Because a discreet person he's not one to tell you something. Right.
I got a pretty high threshold for an interesting story.
Right. Whereas like as comics, we are generally not sober and we have no discretion. Right. We're like, oh, right. I didn't have toilet paper today. Let me tell 60 strangers about that. You know? Like it's just it, so.
Wait, he's describing himself as those. No, words, he's
the
he guy that tells about someone else.
Yeah, somebody came to him with a report.
Okay.
And he's just. I think journaling. Just to be clear, like I think of a journal, I think of like fifth grade and my
dear
feeling.
Diary.
Yeah. I think back then journaling was like Facebook for one person, or like a small group of your superior,
record keeping and that kind of thing. Yeah, right, like it was meant to be viewed. It wasn't an inner life.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So he's like, I have to put this in the journal to report back to the king.
Right.
And so I wrote this down. So he's trying to say like this guy's normal, and he's in the Charles River. At the end of the Charles River, it dumps into the bay, and they saw a flaming light in the sky, like moving.
Okay.
Back and forth from the village to the bay. And when it would slow enough where they could see it, they described it as the shape of a swine, like a fat oblong, like a pig's body.
Pig's body.
Yeah, like a blimp or something balloon-shaped. And then it would zip back and forth.
Crazy.
And and according to the journal entry, numerous people in the village had confirmed that they saw it as well. And then this is the craziest part. So this all goes down, and they report it. And there were three guys in the boat. When the thing finally disappeared after a couple hours, they said, we suddenly were a mile upstream against the current and against the tide. And they're like, and we didn't row at all. We just sat there. Hmm. And then the thing leaves, and we're a mile away from where we were. We have no memory or recollection of how we got there.
Crazy
time,
wow. Just
and there's no waves that could have pushed them back.
Some people have said there can be very odd reverse tides at that, but they also said that you would probably be aware of it because it's pretty rough water.
Yeah, but what if something's on fire above you? It looks like a pig. And you're like, are we moving, Ted? I don't know.
Yes. Could there be? There's also like apparently, and you probably know this from other stories, like. Swamps and gases and bays can sometimes emit this gas that will flame up and make what people think are ghosts or apparitions.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Which is why like the you know, a lot of swamps and places have.
Yeah. And J. Allen Hynek, he basically did a report. He blamed it on swamp gas, like most of the UFO sightings. And so back in the day, that became like a way for them to discredit UFOs, but now it's a joke. It's like, yeah, sure, it's swamp gas. Sure, we know it's right. UFOs.
There's yeah. a this just reminded me of this. I hope this isn't, you know, poo-pooing the
oh, no,
conspiratorial
we
nature of it. But I was listening to this other podcast about, like, I forget what it's called, but it's called like mass-induced hysteria or something like that.
Sure.
Where people will, like, someone has a set of symptoms and everyone else, like, they're not putting it on. They involuntarily, whatever it is, start shaking. Or I think there was a an outbreak of it at one point in history where, like, a whole town was dancing uncontrollably to the point that they were, like, falling down with exhaustion. Yeah. And they were like, it's like a social mental disease that kind of spreads. Just
sure. Is that what Footloose was about?
I was like, yeah, I watched this documentary. But it is just so interesting that, like, when things are confirmed by other people, I'm like, part of me wonders too, how much of it is this, you know, the social predisposition that humans have to kind of affect each other mentally in that way, which to me is also equally as interesting as, like, seeing an alien in the sky. Right. Like, it's just as interesting if that's just how our brains work, that we naturally corroborate.
That's how comedy clubs work. our most of our job is dependent upon sitting next to people that are laughing. Because one's laughing, then the audience doesn't laugh.
Right.
I thought you were saying comedy clubs work by sort of getting a group of people to have mass delusions and work together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I guess in terms of the audience, but also in terms of an industry of comedians. Yeah,
an involuntary thing. I think that, like, we think rooms with more people are better rooms, but it's just one person, it's contagious.
Yeah, there's a real famous psychology experiment, which you may be familiar with, where they took a classroom and, you know, I don't know if your universities, I think we've said ours both did, like, to get your Psych 200 credit, you had to do, like, class, but then you also had to, like, volunteer for the psych department. And that's like, it's really crazy looking back that, like, okay, to get
like
your...
Like, they, like, ran experiments on you?
Yeah, that you had to sign
Whoa.
Up. Yeah,
that's how they made Ted Kaczynski.
Yeah, I mean, right. It was a crazy thing. Like, you had to do these things. And every once in a while, you'll hear about one that's nuts. But this is the one that was built off this phenomenon, mass-induced hysteria. So they have a classroom full of people, and then they have 30 students. 29 of them, they're in on it. One person is the test subject.
Okay.
The 29 people are going to, at a designated time, pretend that a ghost walked in the room and they're all going to freak out and they're going to observe the person who's not in on the joke.
Seems like a shitty prank show.
Overwhelmingly.
It's not cool at all.
And it's not cool, because I need my Psych 200 credit. But it's like, so overwhelmingly, the people that were not in on it, when they saw everybody screaming and pointing, they would just scream and point.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then when they interviewed them, they're like, what happened? And they would swear they saw something. Wow. And it's like you get... I have to see, I don't want to be out of step or out of stride. And
is that, like, an evolutionary thing?
I was gonna say, it makes so much sense, because it's like, what are the chances, if it wasn't a constructed experiment, what are the chances in a natural environment that everyone else's instincts are wrong and you're the one that's right?
Exactly.
It makes sense that your impulse is to be like, let me listen to the people around me.
Yeah,
That is exactly what is the concept of panic, right? And certain species experience panic, and humans are one of those species, and it is a survival mechanism, because, like, if I'm a sheep and everybody starts running, I don't have time to think about, like, well, was that a wolf or wasn't it a wolf? Like, when they start running, it's a wolf, and I just go with the panic.
That's why the clothing works so well, because they don't really stare at it. They're just like, wolf. Like, it's dressed like a wolf. It's probably a wolf.
That's why they use, like, dogs and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, because they forget, like, oh, that's the dog, but the dog can get them to move a bit.
Oh,
right?
Interesting.
We humans have panic, which is why, like, somebody starts running in a soccer stadium and then, like, the whole thing, you know, collapses.
Right. Don't the players run? Yeah, that'd be bad if every time they start the game, everyone's like, holy
involuntarily,
shit.
Involuntarily,
we gotta go. I don't know if that's what's going on, like, in this sort of thing, right? Mm-hmm. The governor comes around in 1639 and starts asking if you saw the light. Are you like, did you see the light? Yeah, I saw it too. I mean, right? Yeah. If you're just like, I'm just going to say whatever the governor wants to hear. I don't know.
It's interesting to think about whether it was a physical thing they saw or whether it was in their heads. It's interesting to think about how you would contextualize something flying in the air before we had developed airplanes.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A flame.
I mean, it's like a dog seeing a car. It's like, I don't know how that would even work. It's just happening in front of me. Yeah.
Which I think is what's interesting, because there wasn't, in their 1639 zeitgeist, a sense of like UFOs, right? They were us in a sense that like there are things coming that we don't know about. Mm-hmm. Like it was, that's like a weird. So I mean, it's like when we think about later ones, modern UFO encounters. There's always the things like, are they after something? Are they making this up?
Did you have it implanted in your mind already? Right. Yeah. I wonder with the puritanical guys too. Like, did they? I mean, I would assume it would go immediately to religious.
Right. They probably burned like four something. Women that night, you know, like it was probably not good for anybody that was not, you know, a male leader of the church.
Yeah. And times were tough.
God. Yeah.
It's brutal.
Well, I'm interested most of all in this story in the loss of memory and gap in time and space.
Oh, because I get this every day.
That becomes the hallmark, I think, of like later, more modern UFO encounters. And I guess the most quintessential one, which is many times called the first modern, is Barney and Betty Hill. It's great, great names. Mm-hmm. Couldn't imagine them marrying anyone else.
Are they the ones in that painting with the four pitchforks?
No. That's very similar. Yeah. But they were driving in rural Vermont back to their home in New Hampshire after like a kind of impromptu honeymoon. And they ran into a particularly bright star. Betty said, I thought it was a planet at first, but then it started moving erratically in the sky. And she's like, so we pulled over. Barney, of course, pulls out a gun. He's like, I'll take a look, which I love that response as a father.
A real
like,
John Wayne.
Yeah, just some extraterrestrials come. I'm sure my handgun will take care of the problem
here. A six shooter.
And he encountered the typical pancake-like saucer. Glowing with a brilliant light. They're freaked out. He goes back to his car. They both end up unconscious. They experience the crazy, like, we got skin grafts and hair samples. They stuck a needle into my uterus.
Oh, fun.
They have all these memories of this.
Well, sorry, what year was this again?
1956. Okay. Yeah. So they have this experience. Again, Barney Betty Hill were known as sort of straight shooting, you know, this is like New Hampshire folk, you know, like live free or die. Is that the live free or
I think
die?
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that from?
It's like the motto, like a state motto.
The state? Oh,
yeah. I love like those old mottos.
Just
like,
that's the one with the snake that's cut up on a flag. You see people in their truck sometimes.
Yeah.
Is it the don't tread on me? Live free or die.
Yeah. And then after this, and this is again, goes back to our last story. They just end up in their driveway. And they're both like, how did we get here? And they're like, I don't know. I just had the crazy. And he's like, I had a crazy experience. Mm. Now,
did they have any scars on them or anything? No.
So they did go in for psychological testing. And through hypnosis, this was all revealed through hypnosis. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people thought it was fake. And here's the one thing that is bizarre is under hypnosis, Betty Hill, they were like, well, where did you go? And she said, we went to Zeta Reticuli, which is a star or a solar system like 60 light years away. And like, what it looked like. And she drew a map of the solar system from the perspective of Zeta Reticuli, as if she's on that
crazy
planet. And it was like perfect. It's almost like draw me a picture of your house and I draw a picture from the inside of your house and you're like, that's my living room.
You're like, you freak, what are you doing in my house?
So she drew this picture and everybody's like, okay, well, that's really, really weird.
Yeah.
And that's
would be funny though if it was just a constellation. It's like three dots and they're like, that's the perfect star alignment.
Oh my God. That's actually one of the arguments for this on Reddit. People are like, how do you even know if there's so many stars, you can put it over anything? Like, there's so many. You just draw a dot. You just draw to the next dot.
They're just, again, it's 1956, and I'm going to harp on the inherent chauvinism of the time, but they're like, they're just impressed that she could just draw anything. She put dots on a paper, guys. What woman could do that?
I can't believe it.
Female Albert Einstein over here.
I know, geez.
Aliens taught her what a pen was.
She can read and write now, guys.
You guys.
More experiments.
Oh, no, I believe it. We got to keep this hush hush.
Well, the one thing that's interesting is that encounter and its publicity gave birth to what's known as Project Blue Book, which we've covered several times on the pod, which was a long...
I'm not familiar with it.
Project Blue Book was a long government project to basically study and catalog people that claim to have alien encounters. Mm-hmm. Right.
And this is like a verified, like, yeah, it yeah, happened. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Project
okay.
Blue Book definitely happened.
Yeah, there's a Showtime series on it. There's lots of specials. Wow, okay. So, yeah.
It has its own set of problems, because whenever you start doing this, you're like, okay, well, maybe it was the government covering their own tracks. Like, some of you guys are getting sloppy with your kidnappings or whatever, you know, like.
Yeah, who was in these alien encounters, wink, wink, yeah, so we know yeah. where to tie up our loose end. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Especially, like, people talk, you see this all in the literature where I'm like, that so-and-so had an alien abduction and had sexual relations with an alien. I'm like, I don't think you call that sexual relations you're forcibly kidnapped and an alien has.
I don't think that's what that is.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's assault.
Yeah,
like,
pretty
not,
sure.
Yeah. Like,
I think maybe that's why we don't know about aliens, because the minute that like we can talk to them, we'll be like, we're suing you for a lot of shit. you guys have been touching all of us. That's
and dude, my cows are pissed.
Yeah, we need space lawyers ready to go.
That's what Space Force is. It's just a crackpot team of lawyers trying to serve process on aliens in outer space.
That's right. Oh, man.
Well, there are hundreds of these. I just gave you two of the most famous. The first one we see at least written down in North America, and then the first modern UFO sighting. Mm-hmm. They both have really striking similarities to me, like the glowing disc in the sky, time lapse, space lapse, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's interesting that someone submitted a Freedom of Information Act request and said, I want all information the government has on encounters that caused side effects with UFOs. And that finally came, like, they finally gave it out like a week or so ago. And now people are processing it and they're like, holy shit, they've kept a lot of stuff from us.
What, like, governmental body releases
Department
that?
Of Defense.
Oh, okay.
And if you're listening and you're like, I don't believe this, just go look up Department of Defense, you know, disclosures on unidentified aerial phenomena, or UAEs, which is like an experience you might have with something unidentified.
And they don't necessarily say they're aliens. Interesting because that word has such a connotation.
Yeah,
of UFO is aliens, but it does literally just mean unidentified flying object.
Which is why they changed it from UFO to UAP, because even Navy pilots were like, there were all these sort of whispers of like, hey, dude, we saw that thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, don't tell anybody, because as soon as you say UFO, you're going to find your career takes a different path.
Right. And UAP has to have categories to like five categories that it fits for it to count as that. So they try to define it a bit more, which is interesting, as opposed to just like, man, look at that crazy thing.
And I guess to the government's credit, they waited till like a global pandemic to release all this information where it would have the least effect.
Yeah.
Possible on people, right? Where we're like, perfect time. I'm dying.
Dude, I think that's the whole thing. Even if it is just like, hey, we found that this is debris falling from, you know, that trash that like circulates Earth is just like offshoots of the International Space. Even if they were like, it's that, as soon as there's a report of it, it's like, they probably also deal with like the mass hysteria of like, people are going to take that information and run with it,
right?
Even if it is kind of benign. So like, that kind of makes sense to want to quell it a little bit.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing too, Maddie, to your point, is that the government has more confirmed instances where they've intentionally spread misinformation.
That's the other thing is I'm like, I don't, for the record, I hope this is not like, you know, taking the steam out of any of it, but I'm like, I don't trust the government for half a second.
Exactly,
A lot of the conspiracy theories too, I'm like, I'm like, probably not. I think it's almost always a less interesting, more sensible answer, but it is equally interesting.
Sure.
The fact, like we were saying, even if it is a mental whatever, but I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's what we do. Yeah.
I wasn't like, oh, thank you, U.S. government, for clarifying that. Questions. Yes.
Perfectly fair response, in my opinion. Like, and again, and also because we know we've talked, you know, a lot about the government's, is just masterful at manipulating groups of people, and they've tested it and they've run projects after projects. So like, I'm always skeptical of that.
Yeah.
And
there used to be a test to get into the government. It was a psychological test. If you can control the U.S. population, you get, you pass your exam and you're in the highest office of government.
I mean, there's almost, maybe this is going a little too lefty, but it's almost, I almost argue that's the reason they exist as a body.
Right? Yeah. Cause they're pretty good at that.
It's not a weird thing they do. I'm like, that's the government.
The beautiful thing about what you said is something that I love, which is that like we have this sort of spectrum of politics, but then like all spectrums are really just sort of circles, and down at the other end, extreme liberals sound exactly like extreme conservatives, right? Because it's like,
yeah,
that's why
as soon as I said that, I was like, that could be misconstrued. Yeah. I'm like, no, I don't mean like the government's taking my taxes. No, pay your taxes. I'm just saying that the government is a deeply evil entity.
Yeah, I think we could all agree with that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That we need, like, pay your taxes to this deeply flawed thing because it's better than what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, in the short term, you know, I don't know. That's a whole can of worms, but I did not mean it in any sort of like, for our guns. I more meant like the government's track record is so horrific. I'm not going to trust them as a moral authority.
Yes.
Right.
So like, I'm going off the rails on
this is great. All right. Well, the with that background, the new request that we got was for a 2010 report titled, and I'm just going to read it, the whole thing, because it's typical of what we're talking about. Anomalous acute and subacute field effects on human and biological tissues in relation to encounters with unidentified aerial phenomena.
They should have BuzzFeed get that down to five words.
You can't even tweet the title of your report. It's too long.
He didn't bait me into anything with that title.
I mean, it's a really dull, pointless government report that probably paid, 100 people's salary for 15 years. And it's meaningless, but it's from this study of 42 cases and over 300 unpublished cases of people that had encounters with what the government now classifies as unidentified aerial phenomena. Mm. And what is bizarre is that in these 42 like carefully studied cases, there are a number of phenomena that we associate with the kind of typical UFO encounter. So most of them had some sort of sustained physical side effects, such as like burn injuries, exposure to electromagnetic radiation, brain damage, nerve damage, heart palpitations, heartaches. Now, I will say a lot of that sounds like stuff you would have if you encountered a freight train running off the track.
Right. Yeah. It also sounds like something that would happen if you fell really hard, hit your head, and hallucinated.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Like,
legitimately, yeah.
Yeah, like if Barney and Betty Hill just got in a car accident.
Right.
And somebody drove them home and was like, I guess I'll just leave you guys.
Or they drove home shit-ass wasted.
Drunk from the Vermont restaurant.
It's also, I might be talking a little bit out of my ass here, but isn't it a thing that when you're dying, a lot of like the quote-unquote seeing a light is the chemical DMT is released in your body naturally as you die. Mm-hmm. I totally had to fact check this, but I wonder if, you know, if you have a near-death experience, if small amounts of that gets released, whatever you think like an alien is, I wonder if any of that is a product of these kind of like heightened chemicals. If you're having a near-death experience, if your body's
maybe,
but then you don't actually die, and then you're like, because people also have that where they're like, oh, I saw the light, or I saw heaven, or whatever, but it's like, if there's a biological reason behind why you start to lose your shit a little bit when you're about to
die.
And
sometimes there is. I mean, we talked about this in the pod before. Like, if you have like brain tumors, you can start seeing things, right? Because it affects like that part of your brain where you'll see like shadow people in your house and things like that.
Right.
And the minute you get your shit out of your head, you're fine.
Sure.
So
it is so like humbling to realize how much you're at the will of just a small mechanical change in your
brain.
A
little loose screw.
It's crazy.
How unobjective it is really crazy. Yeah.
But that also, I think, points to something that comes up a lot in conspiracy theories, especially about paranormal stuff, is when somebody has some brain function happen, whether that's a chemical reaction to a drug or a tumor, are they able then to see a reality that's actually more real than what we see? Because we use very little of our brain. Are they using a part of their brain which allows them to see what is really happening, which might be that we live in a multiverse or some other sort of phenomena? Right,
and they feel it. That's kind of what DMT does, and psychedelics do, is kind of break down that wall to where you're seeing actual reality versus. Because I think we cut off everything. If we hear everything, we go insane.
I was listening to something. I forget where I heard this, but it was something about. I think it was a science YouTube channel called Vsauce, and they were talking about how the human eye processes information. And the video is, I think, was called "What is the resolution of the human eye?"
Oh, yeah.
And the idea is like when you're looking at something. Like I'm looking at this table right now, and it looks like it's the crispest, finest image. Mm-hmm. But that's what's happening when it, you know, is getting processed in my brain. If you actually could take a screenshot of the raw visual data that's coming through my eyes, it's actually Not at all. There's like blind spots. Certain parts are being the pattern recognition in your brain is filling things in and giving you a really crisp image.
And video games do this because, like, if you think about draw distance on video games, and it's better now, to where, but they used to make it blurry or whatever, but then they make it crisp the closer you get. So just like our eyes, it doesn't process that data. And now with VR headsets, anything that's outside of your field of view is blurry and it saves data. It saves the processing power.
Oh, interesting, because so your brain will just do it itself?
Right.
And just outsource the processing to your own brain?
And it only like it focuses that's when crazy. You look in that's that so area.
This sounds more and more like this theory that we're like living an avatar in this world.
Yeah.
And that we're just, when you die, you're just like, ah, my game's over, and you just go back. Which to, like, I think is like,
I think it's something like that for sure.
I think it's probably really disappointing. Like, those are the choices I made in this game. Yep. Is there like, can I restart and make a different?
Right.
But now, like,
I mean, you can try to restart, but the chances, I mean, you may be in a pretty good life right now. You may not want to.
Oh, that's good. That's a great point. Right?
That's why I've never been able to murder myself. It's because I'm like, based on paper, I'm doing okay.
You're in prison.
I'm never going to be in a better spot.
You did 20 years in prison in the alternate universe. This was your life.
Yeah.
This was the one joy you got going out to the yard for this life. That's good. That's
not bad, right?
That's a happy conspiracy theory.
I know. Yeah, I believe it.
Well, let's talk about this conspiracy theory. Popular injuries I talked about, brain damage, nerve damage, all the stuff that you would probably happen if you got any kind of accident. But based on this report, the governing theory by the U.S. government is that these injuries are all consistent with exposure to some energy-related propulsion system. Mm. And that's really, really interesting for a few reasons. One is that I don't know if you've seen the video of these unidentified aerial objects. The videos can be a little bit troubling because one of the things they say is that they move in a way that defies our known law of physics. Like they change directions at speeds which we can't comprehend. They seem to anticipate where we're going, like almost a precognitive movement.
Where the human eye watching them is going?
No.
Or where the ship is going. Like we're going to drop to, you know, they're getting like dropped to 18,000 feet and the thing's already at 18,000 feet. It's like it's already before there.
Oh, like there. It makes the move faster than it should be able to? Yeah, the ship
should be able to.
Oh, I just had an idea. I don't know. Well, I don't know. But you think about like now there's certain stars that are so far away that you're seeing light dead from millions light, of years. Right? I wonder how many of, if they are sort of optical illusions, I wonder if any of those phenomena or any of the documented things are things that are actually happening light years away.
Holy shit.
And maybe it's jumping around because, you know, for whatever reason, projecting towards us. But like, I wonder if anyone's seeing stuff that's actually happening in like, you know, yeah, like light years away, and it's just appearing like it's close in the sky.
That's
like
crazy.
Stars that are huge look like little, you know, pinpricks to us.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
I've never thought of that.
Maybe
like
it's
that.
Like human bias to be like, it's right in front of me.
Right. It's kind of like, you know, what's it when you take a pinhole camera and it shows the light of the picture upside down? You often see it on like Reddit. Someone has their blinds closed and they see the New York City street projected on their ceiling upside down. What if it's like that? Yeah, we're just seeing. Yeah.
Or you know,
you have to talk to a physicist about how light works. But I, but that's really that.
Well, what if it's just our giant godlike handlers just laser,
like
petting
cats.
A cat.
Yeah,
just
like,
they love it when this happens. They freak out. Like they'll just follow it around the whole. Well, the reason that I think that the energy propulsion piece is worth talking about is because, as this information has come out, and as I think mainstream U.S. politicians have said, we got to talk about, like, and I mean like Marco Rubio, who I think is not one to come out and say we need to have hearings on this to understand if this is a threat to our national security. He doesn't coming at it from a, I want to know the truth. He's saying like, this is what you're telling me, like we can't just let this threat out there.
Right. And Senator Gillibrand, who I think is on the other side of the aisle, she's fighting for it as
Well. Yeah, it's made strange political bedfellows. Yeah. But I think why it's interesting is because there's really only a couple explanations, right? Either it's a government, including our own, that has developed some sort of craft that they haven't told our government about, or it's the Chinese or the Russians who've developed something. That's one option.
Right.
And that's not likely. It's kind of terrifying, but it's not likely because it's hard to jump the known laws of physics into a complete craft.
Especially without telling anybody. You tell me they didn't, not one guy was like, holy shit, dudes, check this out. And he tweets it, and you're like, you're fired.
Yeah, I feel like any government wants to, you know, kind of swing their dick a little bit. I'm always very skeptical of, like, the government's do it, where I'm like, the government is evil, but I also do think it's made up of a lot of kind of stupid people that would that
it's like any other job.
Yeah, that it's like it's just,
enough, get enough stupid evil people, and it's really really powerful.
Yeah, but I'm strongly voting against that theory just because I'm sorry, I did not want to step up, but I just because I think it it gives them way too much credit to be 50 steps ahead of
humanity. Exactly.
That's why this is such an unlikely theory.
Like
U.S. scientists who had helped work on the nuclear bomb, they saw the implications of what they were building, and they leaked it to our biggest enemy just because they're like, yeah, we got to share. We can't have one person with this.
Right.
And that's a moral reason for sharing secrets. I mean, think about it. Like, I'm a underpaid Russian scientist who just developed a way to defy the laws of physics, and I'm not going to America to get paid. Like, no way.
Yeah.
Like, there's just human nature is such that, like, we couldn't jump that far in the future. Mm-hmm. Which means the other possibility, which this is an advanced life form, whether we talked about recently, with whether these are like sentient drones or they're controlled by an alien race or a more advanced terrestrial race, that becomes the most likely explanation. And I think I
would also like to throw in a third option, ooh, which is minor seizures. But
or
I'm rooting for that pretty hard.
Or go to a UFO convention.
Yeah, it's not as fun of a podcast, but I'm like, everyone's you
just
know.
Like, UFO conventions losing their minds. You're like, you guys, everyone's having a collective stroke.
There is video.
Show me the average, like, you know, I want to get medical readings. Everyone who's had, you know, an alien encounter, I'm like, what was their blood pressure? What was their medical history? I'm like, we should get those metrics too, because I'm not ready to rule out, like, just you know, you had spots in your eyes because you had low blood sugar, but I'm sorry, that's not as fun. So
yeah, the UFO came and then she had to have her feet amputated. Those damn aliens, I'm gonna get them when they come back.
Aliens must be studying our feet.
Yeah. I did think, you know, we've reached a weird point, because, you know, if we go back to the 50s and 60s when you had an alien encounter, one, there was no internet. And there was sort of word of mouth, and then there's all sorts of things that come into play, which nowadays it is just not the case, because there's so much information and internet and everything.
Too much.
Like in the 50s, if you were a dad who just liked to go out and knock a few beers down before you came home from work, I mean, that's got to be in your belt of like how to get out of trouble with the wife.
Saw an alien.
I just woke up so disoriented.
I lost time, babe.
Like, why don't you believe me? And I mean, I think that's probably some of that. And nowadays, it's really hard to do that, or maybe it's easier to, or just, I just, my wife would not believe me.
No,
at all. If that's what I said.
Yeah.
100%.
Especially when it says find my iPhone and you're literally just in the garage with your motor running.
It's like, she was like, if I'm in the house and she's like, where are you? I'm definitely going like Cincinnati, we talked about.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
She's like, what? And then I'll be in the garage. She'll be like, were you just in Cincinnati? I'm like, yes. I'm so disoriented right now.
Don't know what happened.
Are you doing DMT again? I think that aside from this energy propulsion thing, which you guys don't seem to.
No, I'm into it.
Could you talk a little more? Does that, like, what does that mean? Like, you were like downstream of like a jet engine or something?
Yeah, like
no, these are like radiation burns. So when we think about propulsion, like our understanding of propulsion is like you've got some wings for stabilizers, you've got some jets. I mean, we don't use propellers much anymore, but. Like, essentially, you have to
You've heard of planes?
not to brag, but I'm familiar.
I'm
not mansplaining for you guys. I'm mansplaining.
Have you heard of an airplane?
So, you know, you gotta move the thing, and then the I forget what it's called, the lift that you get. There's a phenomenon.
Yeah, I don't know what that's called.
These things exhibit none of those functions of propulsion.
Oh.
And that's how we understand all movement through...
These things being the documented movement of whatever this object is?
Yes. There are no wings on it. There's no jet plume, so we're not seeing anything that suggests...
No heat signature.
No heat signature. Yeah. None of the things that we associate with propulsion exist in these things. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, it's got to be something else, whether that's some kind of electromagnetic energy, some kind of nuclear signature. At least one type of this unidentified phenomena does seem to have a proclivity towards nuclear sites. They're very interested in nuclear energy sites. They're often seen more often. Now, there's also a lot more U.S. Navy air pilots flying around nuclear sites protecting them. So maybe they're just everywhere and we're just seeing them in the one, you know. But in any case, like however they're moving, we don't understand what moves them. Or how, like, someone with a skeleton could sustain a shift in direction that's like 5,000, you know. And
are these recordings that are from, in this report that you're talking about, are these from Navy pilots and from, like, U.S. government sites? So they're not, like, just anecdotal?
No.
Okay.
And that brings me back to what you're describing earlier of if we're seeing, like, you know, a past civilization light finally hitting us. A lot of these, they... Through their sensors, know that they're solid objects.
Oh, okay, interesting. So
I mean, they,
damn, I was so proud of that theory.
I was too, and then I thought about that, and I was like, I'll burst their bubble later. But that's still, I still love that.
And these are, you know, you can find them if you want. These are, you know, your sort of Top Gun Navy pilot, you know, image of like a screen, and there's like, and then you're hearing live contemporaneous recordings of the pilots talking to one another, which is again, I always think contemporaneous excited utterances are more reliable.
They're like, holy shit, dude.
They're like, did you see that thing? Damn, dude, it's gone. It's gone. Where is it? No, up there again. Yep. And you're just like, and again, maybe you're right. Maybe they're tripping on DMT. Like, why are we doing these training exercises on a Sunday? The football's on. I'm pissed. Let's do some DMT. Have some fun. I don't know. But they're really, really excited about the way these things move. And then there's like multiple people have had burns that look like radiation burns or just like,
whoa.
Like burns that you associate with like overexposure to sun or light or something.
Yeah. And that goes, I mean, there's tons like in that report, there's, I think one of the UFO cases that's made the rounds, I'll have to look it up, but the guy has like a waffle shaped, like it's not a waffle iron. That'd be hilarious. But it's basically like all these squares, like someone burned him through a giant screen from like the UFO. He said he touched the UFO and they got burned.
And this is a government, like an actual doc. Wow. Yeah.
So they're like,
there's pictures,
it would be funny
if
the alien, because I'm like, well, why would the aliens fly here, just mess with us a little bit and then leave? And I'm like, what if whatever alien civilization it is, it's their kids that like, you know, run outside and go like mess with the neighborhood cat. And the mom's like, get in here. Like, that's what they are. It's all the kids being like, look, I burned a person. And they're like, it's time for dinner.
Come on, kid. Have you seen Explorers?
No.
Because that's a great sci-fi 80s movie with Ethan Hawke and these kids. They build a UFO out of a tilt-a-whirl machine. And this is spoilers. This movie's fucking 40 years old. They fly to space in a giant spaceship. And then they're hanging out. And they're like pop culture aliens. They love pop culture. But then a giant ship comes and swallows this ship. And it's their parents. And they yell at them for taking the car out on the weekend and going to Earth. And I was like, that's probably what it is. That's probably fucking what it is.
Yeah, that's definitely a theory. Which is, you know, that... We are part of an aquarium-like planet that some other species is sort of managing. We're a zoo. Mm. This planet is a zoo. But that doesn't really explain the story of Betty Hill or 1639 or the countless hundreds of other stories, because this 2010 report also includes cases that were the work of the Mutual UFO Network, which they are a nonprofit organization.
MUFON is what they're called.
MUFON, which
I would be shocked they were turning a profit. They rake in $2 million a year collecting UFO stories.
Well, look, the nonprofit, I mean, nonprofit is one of the most misunderstood titles.
Yeah, people.
Like, I worked for a nonprofit, and I made a lot of money, and I was like, we're nonprofit, right? Because I can't believe you just paid me. And like... It's mind-blowing.
You're like, sorry, boys and girls club. I'm taking this money.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Attention all my college comrades. The summer sun is just around the corner, and you know what that means. The water gets warmer, the skin gets darker, and the hair gets pubier? Luckily, our friends at Manscaped are here to make that summer bod pop with their fourth generation performance package, which includes their signature lawnmower 4.0. Join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get ready for a shaved boy summer by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code CBM20. As the great Will Smith and DJ Jazzy Jeff said, it's like the summer's natural aphrodisiac. Let's be real. Nobody likes the hairy guy at the beach rave. It's time to bundle up with the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Inside this package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance Boxer briefs, and their Shed travel bag to hold all your goodies. First off, the Performance Package 4.0 includes the Lawnmower 4.0. This trimmer was designed with summer intentions in mind. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch can engage a travel lock, and gives you the ability to turn on the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Did I mention this trimmer is waterproof too? Both pool and beach party approved. Manscaped even has you covered with their signature crop mop ball wipes for any, dare I say, spontaneous decisions. Want to take it up a notch? Manscaped Shears 2.0 is an all-encompassing nail kit to tackle those gross sandal nails you might acquire. Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations. Before heading outside, use Crop Preserver ball deodorant to keep your game in the heat. For any on-the-go ball sweats, freshen up with Manscaped's Crop Reviver and hop back into the mix with confidence. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts with the Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Premium Boxers and Shed Travel Bag. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code CBM20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with code CBM20 at manscaped.com. It's time to trim those spring flowers this summer and give your beach balls a shine with Manscaped.
They collected for, they were the people that were like, we're going to talk to people that have UFO encounters and counsel them and listen to them. And just, so they collected them for decades. And in those files, we have even more catalog of experiences that people have had after encounters. So paralysis, perceived telepathy, teleportation, levitation, unaccounted for pregnancy, apparent abduction. And I feel like
someone called the Exorcist.
The nonprofit, is this a government body or this is just a separate thing? No, this is
just a separate nonprofit who just for decades was saying these are real experiences. People have real trauma.
Yeah. And you can report a few UFO if you see
it. If you see one, you see like that. And they've just been, and at some point the government was like, well, now that we think this might be real, let us go back through these. And of the hundreds that they read, they included 300 that were credible.
Oh, interesting.
Like this fit the profile of what we think is happening.
Does the government in the report, or is it the Department of Defense, do they make any statement about like a theory of what it is? Or do they just say, this is raw data, these are the records?
It's pretty raw. It's pretty raw data. They have pushed back on identifying who, what, or, and of course they would. I mean, like, can't in the middle of a pandemic say, and we know it's
aliens.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Like, right. That's not, you know, but at times, to be honest, I think that if it were to be an extraterrestrial or a terrestrial intelligent life form that we've shared the planet with for 10,000 years or whatever, sometimes I just think, just tell us. I mean, like, yeah. Is the stock market going to crash? Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Yeah, like, are we going to be like, why are we worried about global warming? Let the fucking aliens figure it out.
Yeah, they got, right? Yeah, they got the technology.
I mean, like, yeah, it's going to be bad for a presidential cycle. We may not have the Olympics first, you know, but let's just get it over
with. It's just funny, the sort of blinders that we have on in society to be like, stock market and the presidency are the most cosmically, spiritually,
so important,
you know, in terms of just life fulfillment. That's number one. And if it gets in the way of that, fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is interesting what you said, though, about sharing the planet. Like, does anyone have that as a... Is there a conspiracy about that? That, like, that these things are coexisting and not visiting?
There's a lot of people that believe that what we think of as extraterrestrial are actually, like, more terrestrial than us, predate humans.
Live in the oceans. Humans. Or they're a species that evolved separately from us. So separately, we took a while to come up with our bullshit religions and learn how to use stone tools. And they were like, why don't we just go straight to nuclear? And they like became a
fascinating.
And we would never know because if they're that good. I mean, it's like anyone in the government. I'm like, how do you get that job? Where they're like, we're in it. We got to go.
Yeah.
On.
Yeah. So it's that's a huge theory. Which, you know, I think one analogy that we used is that, like, you know, I have ants piles in my yard, and I don't really worry about them, like, because you can't really kill them. You can just move them to your neighbor's yard, and they'll come back. So I don't really worry about them, but I would get worried if they were, like, going to collapse my house. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if someone's like, if you don't get that, they will burrow under your foundation, and you will lose your whole house. And I'd be like, well, I'm going to kill these fucking things. And that's some people's theory, is that, like, we've been coexisting for, but now that the climate is getting warm and we're developing weaponry that's too powerful, they're kind of like, hey, guys, we can't, you guys, we have to keep you at this level of technology and population or you're gonna screw this whole thing up.
And they often, it's part of the theory too, or hypotheses, is that this is just a cycle that happens all the time. And that we just are a race of people that somehow we don't know how we evolved the way we did. We get to a point where we're fucking shit up and they're like, all right, hit reset, just wipe these people out, do this, cause a great flood or do whatever. And then they're like, but they live in the oceans and underwater. So it doesn't,
there is like a theory, right? Like, I don't think it's a conspiracy theory. I think it's I could be wrong, but I think it's a generally accepted like possibility of like that there might be a sort of a natural tipping point in civilizations that by the time you become technologically advanced to reach out to other planets and stuff, that you also just kind of crumble in on yourself. Yes, and it's like a theory of why, even though it's statistically probable that there are other life forms that maybe they haven't reached out to. Maybe they're hitting the same point we are, like global warming and climate change and just wars and fighting in between each other, that like, which would be kind of a bummer about like the nature of existence that like.
You're telling me every planet invents Facebook and it's downhill from there? Fuck. That's why Zuckerberg looks like an alien, because he's literally an alien.
Yeah.
He's traveling from world to world. Ending every civil. He's
I'm sure that's a conspiracy theory. Yeah, probably
is. You know, I think that all of this is interesting. I mean, it's all very interesting to me. I think what I think most about is that if you watch alien abduction documentaries or talk, you know, any of that stuff, a lot of them, I can really quickly find a gap or a hole. The ones that are most compelling to me almost always are that straight shooter, you know, where it's like Auntie Joan, and like Auntie Joan hated lies. She would never tell a lie. She went to church every day. Those are the ones where I'm like, why would Auntie Joan make this up?
Right.
She had a real experience. And that's one element that I have. Then the other thing is that it's like, it's not just a single encounter. It's like it has multiple encounters. And then the third thing is they suffer tremendous discrimination.
Right.
Because my instinct is that people don't generally choose discrimination. Like, think about the experiment in class. People will see a ghost that doesn't exist just to fit in. But
we're the same. We're not.
But so many people who come forward and they're like, this happened to me and it's real. And people are like, you're a nut. And they're like, I'll be a nut. And they're like, you're going to lose your job if you keep saying this. He's like, I'll lose my job. Like, I'm not going to turn my back on what I know was a real experience. And maybe that's what delusion is, and that's what mental disorder is you're just like, eventually I commit to
maybe,
like, and that I don't know the answer to that question, but I know that when people suffer really harsh consequences for saying, this happened to me, it's real, and they get ostracized. Like, I look at this now, this moment, and think, man, what a shitty way to treat those people.
Yeah,
if the government knew, they're like, yeah, we knew that you got abducted. We were watching it the whole time, right? And, yeah, shit, my buddies were crossing illegally from Canada into North America on a bike trip by accident. They got to a checkpoint. It was fucking closed.
Yeah. Don't got to weigh your truck.
And they were just like, no one's there. They're like, all right, we're just going to go across like 60 miles to the next checkpoint. So they like jumped a fence, rode down a stream. Next morning, woke up to guns.
Crazy.
They got arrested. When they got arrested, the guys were talking to him. They're like, you guys are lucky you crossed into, because we were tracking you. Mm-hmm. and we saw you cross over and we knew we got you. But before that, there was a large mammal stalking you guys.
Crazy.
If you had camped on the other side of the border, you guys would have died.
Because bears, like, don't they respect
borders? It was a bear. It was a mountain lion.
Oh, mountain lion. Oh,
and okay. It probably couldn't have gotten over the fence. So, like, you had stopped, like, it had been tracking you guys for miles.
Oh, crazy.
I'm like, so they were just going to let you're, like, you're in Canada, just fucking, you're going to just die on this mountain lion. I was like, really? And they're like, yeah, that's crazy.
Canadians stay nice because they don't help idiots.
So I don't think our government is going to like put its neck out to save Aunt Rita, who had a bad experience. But now it looks awful to me. Yeah. That's what I think about. My final thought is like, if this is real, mm-hmm. some point, we have to go back and like revisit so much of history and reread things that we've said.
Right.
That doesn't make sense and say, well, does it make sense if it's an alien? I mean, like, is the great mystery of who is Shakespeare? Is it just like an alien that wanted to come back and be a great writer and just like.
But it is. It's just we were talking about this a little bit before we started, but that like that conspiracy sometimes have an association with like right wing kind of thinking now. Sure. When I used to think of them as just kind of like, oh, silly, funny alien thing. Exactly. And now you're like, I don't want to be associated with whatever, or like a Joe Rogan-y type thing. But it is funny that the people, or not funny, it's deeply troubling, that the people who do kind of like, you know, oh, the government's lizard people or whatever, they can't see very obvious conspiracy theories that are what they're talking about, structural, from a personal level to an institutional level over years and years, like sexism or racism. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, there are conspiracies in this country.
You can fight them.
And you don't want to see the ones that there's mountains of proof for and years. I mean, the evidence is all there. But you're like, but five people in the woods one time.
Right.
It's just funny because it's such selective thinking that people have about you know, what they're willing to see as these kind of invisible systems. I'm like, there really are actually these kind of invisible systems.
Yeah.
But I think what the thing is they're not as exciting. Aliens are exciting and it's this big adventure. And the real conspiracy theories of the world are like really harsh, upsetting things that we have to reckon with and like deal with. And there's something to be, that's a heavy thing to deal with, but it's a lot more fun if, the reason behind the world suffering is because there's five lizards running the government.
I think there's also a thing of like, because those are two kind of conservative talking points. I mean, one's like, one of these is mainstream conservative and one of them is like kind of alt-right, right-wingy conservative. But like that, you know, they're big on like pedophiles in the government and protecting unborn children. And both of those are perfect villains and perfect victims. And it's like, it's a lot harder to recognize that the real truth is that you and people you loved may have done bad things and that bad things are deeply infused into society. Right, it's not this one problem you can solve and everything will be perfect, or, you know, that life is more complicated than that. And the actual problems that we have to solve are like going to take some personal sacrifice from everyone to like reckon with.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's not as like fun, but I felt like since we're talking about conspiracy, that's like my take on conspiracies in general is I think it's like a way for people to dodge a lot of accountability and personal accountability, because it's way easier if it's one silly enemy over there that that's all it takes to fix it, when it's really like,
I'm rambling on. Incredibly nebulous system of oppression.
Well, there's two good things there. So, you know, one thing in improv scenes is like the easiest joke that people end up at is Hitler, because it's basically, like you said, the perfect villain or the perfect crime or whatever. Whereas like the actual truth of the world is small scenes that have nothing to do with that giant beast.
Right,
and the real life is this. Mm. And that's what a good improv scene makes. And I don't talk about improv much, so that's weird that I brought that up. But then what I also like is that, so we were talking earlier about potential name change. And lately, and this is one thing I've noticed, lately when guests come on, they find that time, like you just did, to say what you feel about conspiracies, which I think is awesome. But it's also like that never happened before until we got to a point where people are like, even the guests are like, this, so you know, this, this is what I think about this. We're having fun, but this is how I think about this in reality.
It's fun to talk about this science fiction story.
Right.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was saying too, is like, it's so fun to talk about these stories and theorize, but then you're also like, I don't want to, I just want to be clear that I think it's deeply politically problematic
when
this becomes an outlet for like how to look at society.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. It's like, this is it's fun and it's interesting and who knows, but it's not like, it's not some Joe Rogan-y. Like,
no, no, no. And that's the thing.
Let's do something about
no,
this.
No, it's like, absolutely,
you know,
not.
Who
yeah.
knows?
And that's I just find it interesting the fact that we've gotten there now. Like before,
it took a lot to get there.
It did. I mean, it took 3 years of craziness in the world, but and then finally we're at a point where like even and I'm like, and now we're at that point where like we want to call this.
Name,
we don't like, even want to be associated because we would like our guests to come on and be like, hey, I don't have to fucking think about this. <You know?
laughs> Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I don't hope this doesn't fuck up your idea. Can I mark it one more time? I just might want to listen back to what
absolutely.
I said and make sure I didn't put my foot in my mouth.
No, I don't think you did.
Okay, cool.
I don't think that was great.
At all.
Okay, thanks.
But yeah,
I'll let you.
I thought it was perfect.
So we'll pick it back up.
Yeah.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and we'll go right back into final thoughts. Cool. All right. Okay. Yeah, you know, I think that if what we're seeing being disclosed slowly, but in a way it's been very rapid over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's really ramped.
It's like this, you know, like I feel like the government's track record is, nah, that's not real, or blah, blah, you know, obfuscate, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, actually you were right all along. We have been doing this. We did do that. We're sorry. We've made changes. Like if that comes out, I just think about people whose livelihoods and lives and stuff have been ruined.
Right.
Or just like, it's just like what happens to our shift of like, oh, crazy, you know, Betty, who's been ostracized from the small New Hampshire town because of what she swears happened to her. Like, you know, that like, what do we do now? You know, we've talked strangely enough a lot tonight about like sort of value systems. And what I hate sometimes about the conspiratorial mindset is, for me, progressive thinking has always been flexible. Mm-hmm. Like, I will believe this, but when presented with credible evidence, otherwise I will at least listen. And maybe there's a point where I'm like, I'm not going to listen to that anymore. Like, I've listened to the birds aren't real argument 1,000 times, yeah. Right? I'm just tired.
It's like, and I'm in.
Yeah. but I'll listen, but I have this viewpoint, right? But if something comes out, I'm like, okay, I got to consider this because, you know, like when really well-respected physicists say it's time to start considering the fact that we live in a matrix, like we live in a false reality, then you're like, well, okay, well, like I got to start thinking about this as a yep. real possibility. And then what do I do with my prior actions and prior thoughts? I mean, I think that's what's become so rigid about people is, it's like, no, we had it right at one point in time, and anything that assails that truth is a threat. So build up a wall and guard closely this sort of sacred, immutable, unchangeable truth. And that's where I think this like divisiveness comes from.
Yeah.
So I feel my heart is with like people that are like, yeah, I've been saying this for a long time, and it cost me everything in my life.
Part of me is like, I mean, maybe this sounds cold and unfeeling, but I'm like, you fucking dummy. Just say it didn't happen.
Yeah, that's all that. I'm like, no, that's I'm like,
just like
yeah.
Oh, your heartbeat's a little weird
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry. Yeah. 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 Can you not keep a secret?
I was wrong. Yeah, I was really drunk, you know?
Yeah. I was wondering, do you think lying works the same way holding in anger works? You know, like when you hold in anger, eventually you lose it and you like lose your mind.
Oh, you bottle it up
and eventually the bottle breaks.
Yeah.
Does that happen with telling the truth? Like if someone's so truthful and they're like, I just want to lie so bad. And then the UFO is the craziest one they come up with.
Yeah.
Like, and just
it's like the opposite of Boy Who Cried Wolf.
Right. Yeah.
It's like you lie so much that no one believes you when you're telling the truth.
Yeah.
But then you're so truthful that no one believes you when you lie.
Exactly.
And then you tell a whopper and you're like, they're going
to
love this.
It also for me, when I'm like, oh, the government released this report, I don't necessarily go to doomsday. Like, what are they hiding? For me,
right,
my visceral first reaction is like, oh, interesting new science.
Yeah,
like,
thanks for
I
telling
think
me.
A new discovery is a cool
right,
thing.
Yeah.
And if it can be peer reviewed and it really comes out as legit to me, I'm like, that's really cool.
You know? I think that's what was my point I was making, just not as eloquently, which is like, germs get discovered in the 17th century and you're not like, what? You're making up germs. Like, are you just like, let me read the science and see what you're saying? Here's a good question, I think, to get at this. Because the idea of like truth, and especially in this realm, if you look through history, you're like, it's just, there's an institution that sort of controls the nature and sort of context and shape of truth that eventually gets sort of overcome by a new, better system.
Right.
And we are at what many people consider to be the end of the scientific age. And oddly enough, some people would say that science has become the new church. And the people that don't believe in science are sort of witches, right? And there's a new sort of emergent science which is saying it's okay if we question the dogma of science. Right. And these are scientists saying this. Like, we have to account for quantum realities that we cannot explain, and we have to be comfortable saying to people that this doesn't make sense to us. Like,
I have to disagree a little bit, just in that, to me, the nature of science is such that it's all about questioning. And I mean, the scientific method is all about, it's so open to that. And in that way, it's so against, it's so the opposite way, like the church is set up, that I think that a little bit, I think that it gets dangerous. And that's where you get stuff like vaccine misinformation, when something that is so, you know, peer-reviewed and is so built on questioning, when we see that as unmovable. And I'm like, no, it's not unmovable. It takes an overwhelming amount of evidence to...
No, that's perfect. It really
an overwhelming amount of...
overwhelming. You are absolutely correct. I would say that what you're articulating is the new science sort of viewpoint.
Would argue that's inherent to science in
general.
You
would think, but I would say, like the Oscars, where you have to follow a strict thing. You have to lobby the right people, and you could have tons of peer-reviewed things that people just don't think are worthy of, like, well, we don't want to push your crazy pseudoscience to the top. You're like, but I had 30 of my peers review this.
I guess that's what I would say. I think it's a little bit of a slippery slope to, like, it can a little bit give people who are, like, let's say, you know, vaccine skeptics or that kind of like fringe thing a little bit of a like they're martyrs, they're fighting the good fight, they're underdogs. Yeah. But I'm like, in science, if you don't have the evidence to back it up, being the underdog is not a virtue. It actually means you don't have the evidence to support your claim.
You're an open mic prop comic. Pass the doors.
But what do you do with the scientist that does have evidence and it's like, I have evidence, but you won't look at this evidence? Because that's the story of most scientific breakthroughs, is someone is sort of considered to be outside the scope of what's normal.
I would say if it's the truth, though, eventually the evidence, you will accumulate enough evidence to make it the truth. And I think it is for good reason that it is very hard to overthrow an existing scientific principle, because, you know, I don't believe that about social institutions or anything like that. Right. But when it comes to science, I think it's like, it should be pretty fucking hard to disprove, you know, the basics of, like, you know, the fundamentals of physics as we understand them. Like, that shouldn't be, five guys think that. It should be a
new
long
examples
process.
Fell up, but so I think that's what we're believing today.
That's a really nice tie back to this topic, because I think that's where, like, I'm super interested, because, like, it should be really hard to overthrow our known laws of physics. And then you have people that are experiencing phenomena, and I'm talking at this point about highly trained naval pilots in the best technology that we know, capturing live video and contemporaneous, like, voice recordings of seeing things that defy the known laws of physics, and people being scared to bring it up for fear of losing their job or being sort of branded as sort of crazy and all this sort of stuff. And that's what I'm sort of driving at, is that, like, how do you on the one hand be like, when, like, scientists argue, they're arguing about stuff that's way beyond my understanding. they're like, I agree with this, 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 and this. When you state this, it relies upon this person's foundation, which is really broader than he meant when he said this. So we really should account for this.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't fucking know what you're talking about. Right? All I read was the headline, which, like, top scientist disagrees with NASA. That's, like, that's what people read. And they're like, hey, NASA's full of shit.
Miami.
You know, so how do you just sort of ride that line between, like, I believe this, but I also don't want to not believe when new ideas and new thoughts and people challenge and they have breakthroughs and insights.
Well, I guess you just have to just hold on till it's proven, right?
Yeah, I think that's the cool thing about science too, is, like, sometimes they get new data and you're like, yeah, I don't know yet. That's interesting. I wonder what the research will show, you know? Like,
it's like a cliffhanger.
Yeah. To me, I'm like, it's not, because science is in a constant state of, like, you know, of proving itself wrong and getting new information. And, like, in that, because it's set up to like constantly. So to me, I'm like, I don't see that as being at odds with each other. I see that as like a healthy, you know, intellectual ecosystem doing what it's supposed to do.
Here's what's interesting. And I think the distrust that people inherently have in the government, I think for some people translates into their distrust for science, because so much of science is funded by the government. And so then like people become questioned on like, well, is that the real answer, or is that what the government, we're going to fund this study and all your research, as long as you kind of have these are the conclusions that are acceptable. I think that becomes,
even if the scientific method is pretty bulletproof, scientists are like, there's still human error, and that's why people get skeptical.
There's dumb assholes in every job, every field.
All of it is like crazy, especially as like this new information comes out and this new report that like there have been like decades of people that have been like verifiable victims of encounters with strange craft that may have some sort of energy propulsion system. And like, you know, I said my final thought, but I'll go back again. I think, Matt, I think you're right. Like, I, interesting. I will listen. Like, show me data, show me information, and if it proves to be true, I do have this mind of like, gosh, we should write some letters to some people that really, lost their, you know, their job. Okay, all right, Shane. Final thoughts.
You guys, world's crazy. As long as we look to the sky, we'll see something that gives us hope. And at this point, it's an alien, so I'm on board as long as we're here. That's what I got. How about you? Final thoughts, man.
Final thought. I think it's always, it is one of the great joys of being alive to learn new things. But until a lot of people with degrees tell you that you're onto something real, just don't let it sway how you vote. Have fun in your basement, but don't take it too far. Yeah. Just
And we got, my mom's upstairs sleeping, so we gotta finish this out. Just kidding. This is not my basement.
No, but you know, who knows? If we find out there's aliens in my lifetime, it'll be a real thrill.
It will be. It's exciting.
Well, this has been really fun. Before we go, Maddie, where can people find you, follow you? What do you want to tell the fans?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at Maddie T. Wiener. It's MaddieTWiener. And I'm going on tour with my good buddy Emil Joachim this summer.
Oh, nice. Congrats.
We're co-headlining, doing a big loop around the country. So follow me on Instagram and come
catch
out to
a show.
Yeah. Maddie's great. Awesome. She always been happy to have known her. Rest in peace, Maddie Wiener. Just happy to have you here. Good to
this
have you back.
Great.
Around.
Well, this is Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith, and this is
Maddie Wiener.